It was an interesting chapter we read today, chapter 21. I'm not sure that slavery and all that we heard in the book is anything too much different than what we see today. I mean, anyone ever felt like they've been a slave to a factory owner or supervisor, even or a manager? Who knows? I'm not sure, but I do know that whatever Yahweh dictates is fair. My sermon for today is built upon my previous sermon, and it was called To the Law and to the Testimony. So this is To the Law and to the Testimony, Part 2. The series is based on the Ten Commandments. And we've covered the first two commandments in the verses of Exodus 20, verses 1 through 6, in which Yahweh identifies himself as the true Elohim, the creator of the universe, and describes in verses 5 and 6, essentially, the law and the testimony. Exodus 20, verses 5 and 6 says, "You shall not bow down to them," being foreign deities, "nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of generations to those who love me and keep my commandments." In these two verses, Yahweh first describes the testimony when he says, "I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." In verse 6, he describes the mercy he will give to those who obey his law. And I also defined, to the best of my ability, the phrase, "to the law and to the testimony," using a verse from Isaiah 8 and 14. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to look there. Isaiah 8 and 14 says, "He," describing Yahweh of hosts, "will be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Okay, did you catch that? He will be a sanctuary, the law, and a stumbling block, the testimony, to both houses of Israel. Both. That is, he will be a stumbling block to the house of Judah and to the house of Israel. That is, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the believers in Messiah. How? How will he be a benefit and a detriment? Regarding the law, the house of Judah has protected the law of Yahweh in written form, have they not? But in regards to the testimony, has taken away from it and added to it by altering the feasts of Yahweh and adding laws to it, their own laws. The ancient house of Israel turned to the worship of idols, and as regards the law, has turned from such and come to believe in Yahshua the Messiah. Although that's not the name they use. However, the lost sheep of the house of Israel have now syncretized the belief in the Messiah with the customs, traditions, and doctrines of the heathen. Both houses, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, have, at one time or another, believed. Those who have held to the truth in the law and the Messiah shall prevail. However, both have stumbled and are still on the ground. Over time, in response to worldly circumstances, Yahweh's truth has been diminished, diluted, and forgotten. And both houses are guilty. Now, as I was writing this, it came to me that the phrase, to the law and to the testimony refers to the law, the written word of Yahweh, and to Yahshua himself, who testified to the truth in the law of his father, Yahweh. Yahshua is the testimony of the law of Yahweh. How amazing is that? To the law and to the testimony, Isaiah says. He was pointing to the law of Yahweh, and he is also pointing to the Messiah who would testify to us here today the truth in his word. Whether you are Jewish or Christian or any other religion, it is time, my friends, to pick up the word of Yahweh and read it for what is written therein. It is time to incinerate those doctrines of demons that take away the truth of Yahweh. It is time now to come out of Babylon, to come out of Egypt, to abandon those lies, deceptions, and cover-ups that come from the imaginations of those who hate Yahweh and oppose his laws, his statutes, and his worship. It is time now to worship the Creator of the universe and humble ourselves at his feet to give thanks to Yahweh for his love endures forever. Isaiah spoke of a sanctuary and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. How can someone be a sanctuary and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense at the same time? Well, it's simple. For example, our responses to one another will either bring affection or hostility. If we would genuinely listen to what someone is saying in their heart, then more likely than not, they will feel safe. If, on the other hand, we ignore them, or worse, ridicule or refute their thoughts and feelings, they will probably not feel safe, and then they probably will take a defensive or offensive stance towards us. Here in the scriptures, Isaiah is speaking, I believe, about Yahshua. For he is a sanctuary to those who believe and act according to the law that he gave to Moses. Remember, it was the angel of Yahweh who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. To those who obey his commandments, he loves. And he will save them from destruction. To those who disobey his law and choose to worship wooden idols or their own thoughts, their fate and their fortune is the gnashing of teeth, wailing, and being tossed into the fire that is certain to destroy them completely. So who is the testimony? Let's look at 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Master is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Yahweh and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Wow, when I read this section in the First Peter, it just amazed me. Especially in verse 8, they stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they were appointed. We are appointed to the law of Yahweh. We are appointed to his word. And we have a responsibility, being called out to obey. Can you hear him calling to you? To the law and to the testimony. Obey and believe. To those of you who obey Yahweh and believe in his son Yahshua, you shall see eternity. You shall walk with Yahshua in the presence of Yahweh, and he shall teach you of his kingdom and make known to you wisdom beyond your imagination. Oh, come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For Yahweh is the great El and the great King above all mighty ones. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker. For he is Eloheinu, our Elohim. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, says the psalmist in chapter 95, 1 through 7. To Yahweh may our prayers rise like incense, that he may be pleased with our love for him and for his son, who suffered at our hands. That he may be pleased with our love for him and for his son, who suffered at our hands. We are the ones that caused him to go through the torture. Who died because of our sins, and whose mercy is a testimony to his love for us, so that we may remember his promises and the hope that comes from obedience to his law. Yahshua is the law, and he is the testimony. And he walked among us. He knew our needs. And he loved us. He gave us the law to direct us. And his law speaks clearly. It has only been distorted by man's pride and arrogance and desire to be above others. Yahweh is above others. Yahweh is above all. Yahshua is our shepherd. Now, shall we proceed with the lesson for the Sabbath? If you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And verse 7. This is the verse of our lesson today. Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, in vain. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Another translation says, "You shall not bring the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, to naught, to nothing. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who brings his name to nothing, to naught." The meaning of verse 7 essentially is to not diminish Yahweh in our lives. Do not diminish his presence. Do not diminish the law that directs us. Do not bring down his name by disobedience. Do not disregard the creator of the universe, for to do so is to bring punishment on one's head. And when he says that he will not hold a blasphemer guiltless, what does that mean? I know the word blaspheme is not in there, but what else could it be? If you would turn to Leviticus 24 and 16. Leviticus 24 and verse 16. This is what it means to hold the blasphemer guiltless. Leviticus 24:16. "And whosoever blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who was born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of Yahweh, he shall be put to death." In Psalm 139, in verse 19, if you would turn there, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 19, says, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, Eloah. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you, Yahweh, wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Yahweh, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O El, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." David knew the seriousness of blaspheming the name of Yahweh. The fact that this sobering song exists in temple worship liturgy bears witness to that. And while typically people believe that blaspheming the Creator's name means using a title or a false deity's name in cursing someone, the real meaning of blaspheming the name of Yahweh refers to diminishing his name or bringing his name to ruin. Now, how diminished or ruined is Yahweh's name if the very tribe of Judah, who claim they have preserved the word of Yahweh, say they don't know how to pronounce it? How ruined is that? How diminished is that? You don't know how to speak his name? How diminished is Yahweh's name? If you were to point to his name in Hebrew scripture and ask a Jewish person, how do you pronounce this? And the person says, that's Adonai. Adonai? As in Adonai, the Greek deity who angered another Greek deity and turned himself into a boar and killed Adonai? Does that have a ring to it? Wasn't it Tammuz in Ezekiel 8? Whose death by a wild boar, the women mourned 40 days? An abomination? And then they celebrated the Queen of Heaven with a baked ham to commemorate Tammuz's death? Is that the name they are placing on top of our Heavenly Father's name? Now, the English translations, as well as the Latin and the Greek, are no better. Instead of Adonai to replace the name of Yahweh, they use the name Lord, the title Lord. Actually, it is a name, which is the English translation of the Hebrew word Baal, as in Baal Peor, which means the Lord of the opening. Okay? These are sexual feasts. Baal Peor was an abomination. Or the word Baal-zebub. Zebub means fly. Baal-zebub, who Yahshua referred to as Satan, is the Lord of the flies. Which, that phrase, is a Hebrew word picture and asks the question, what do flies hang around? Okay, once you have that picture in your mind, then that's what this deity, Baal, is the master of. Filth and decay and destruction. There is no excuse. There is no excuse for covering up the name of Yahweh. His name is to be glorified. We are to call upon his name. It is the name. Of he who will redeem us. As Joel says, or Yael, which means Elohim is my, Yah is my El. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. If you would turn to the book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 6:10 says, so it shall be when Yahweh your Elohim brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear Yahweh, your Elohim, and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other deities, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For Yahweh, your Elohim, is a jealous or a zealous El among you. Lest the anger of Yahweh your Elohim be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. This is a testimony as well. Yahweh demands respect. He blesses those who acknowledge Him as the Creator and set their hearts and minds to give obedience to His ways, to His laws, to His love, and to His wisdom, and to His Spirit. Please turn to the book of Isaiah in chapter 42. Isaiah is a great book, like all the prophets who point to the Messiah. Isaiah 42, beginning at verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to whom? To the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says the El, Yahweh, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring our prisoners from the prison, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am Yahweh, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Yahweh, in effect, is saying, I am the creator of your lives. It is I who deserves praise, not a wooden idol you have carved from your own hands. He is calling us to his household and preparing us to bring this good news to the nations, to the Gentiles, to the Goyim. His words, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. It's certainly about his son, Yahshua HaMashiach. The phrase, and I give you as a covenant to the people, is remarkable. Why? I give you as a covenant to the people. Yahshua is given as a covenant. Is a covenant anything but a law? Therefore, Yahshua himself is the law of Yahweh, eloquently put here by Isaiah. However, and are these words not about us too? Have we not been called out Have we not had Yahweh's Spirit put into us and upon us? And are we not to be a walking covenant of Yahweh? As Paul, or Shaul, said in 2 Corinthians 10, if you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, sometimes Paul says some amazing things. Sometimes you have to root around in his words to find out what he's trying to say. This might be one of those paragraphs that is a little bit difficult. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field Elohim has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the evangel of the Messiah. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the evangel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory. But let him who boasts boast in Yahweh. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom Yahweh commends. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he has more to say on this, I believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But Yahweh has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And Elohim has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are wrong. Shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, Elohim has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before Yahweh. But by his doing, you are in Yahshua the Messiah, who became to us wisdom from Yahweh, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in Yahweh. So where is that phrase found in the Old Testament? It's found in Jeremiah 9 and verse 23 that says, thus says Yahweh, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares Yahweh. Yahweh commands us to boast in him. Let him who boasts boast in me, he says. And King David also had something to say in this matter in Psalm 44:8. In Elohim we have boasted all day long. we will give thanks to your name forever. And to this I say, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh for calling me out of Babylon. It was not my doing, but he reached down and gave me a new heart and turned me into a new man. Dare I say, I know Yahweh? Yes, I dare to say that I know the heart of Yahweh. I know that he is willing to forgive any of our generation who will humble themselves at the feet of Yahweh's anointed, Yahshua HaMashiach, Yahshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, and receive his outstretched hand to be guided home through the present darkness and through the valley of the shadow of death. He is faithful, and I trust in his words. I boast in the power of Almighty Yahweh and Yahshua, to whom was given all things. Hallelujah.